The majority of our own people, of our own species, is sleeping to our march toward extinction. That's one of the biggest, scariest things. Why? Because we are all pretty much indoctrinated into a concept that doesn't understand that we are reliant on China. Economy is not the foundation of life. Economy is not the foundation of life. Water cycles are the foundation of life. Ecosystems, from the mountains all the way down to the depths of the sea, are the foundation of life. Economy is not the foundation of life. But we have sacrificed everything for economy. For me, that's why I'm in this movement. That's what sparked me to fly. Right. Oh, the mountain. Whatever. Felt like I was flying. I don't remember. Ask me to run now. I don't know. But, because literally, for my generation and the generations under us, we, right now, can any of you guys promise our kids that they'll be able to breathe clean air in 20 years? We cannot even promise that. Can we promise our kids in 20 years they'll be able to have fish in the ocean? We cannot promise them that. Because we're too concerned with paying bills. We're too concerned with getting the next, you know, high fashion product. Because we have been indoctrinated into that thought. We, even as Kanaka Maoli, will stand up. And we will fight. But when I gotta clock out, I gotta go back wherever. It's a sad reality. I'm not saying it. Yeah, I'm right now trying to figure it out myself. I'm supposed to start work next week. I'm trying to figure it out. But it's a reality. Mauna Wakea, this stand right now. I've spoken many a time that Mauna Kea is a microcosm. You guys can come a little more close. What we are dealing with is the summit of the Mauna. It is a microcosm of what's happening on the planetary, on the whole planet right now. We only have so much. The Western world has marched us into a conceptual way of thinking that we can continue on a linear scale. We're on a finite planet. You cannot operate a linear system on a finite planet. Bring that right here onto our island. How many of you guys heard the phrase? Heba'a, heboku, heboku, heba'a. The canoe is an island. The island is a canoe. That very same concept. So when you're on a va'a and you set sail for Kaiki, yeah, you hope you make it in 30 days. But you only get so much bai, you only get so much food, you only get so much kanaka to do whatever to do to make it. So you need to be very, very conservative. You have to make sure everyone is taken care of, because everybody is crucial on the ba'a. The ba'a itself has to be taken care of. I've taken to a point, we gotta expand that olara no eau. He ba'a, he honua, he honua, he ba'a. The canoe is the planet. This planet is the canoe. The Pele clan, they come to Hawaii on this great canoe. What's the name of the canoe? Honuaiakea. The great expansive earth. That is the name of the Baha that brings the fire god to Hawaii. It is a name for this planet. Where this great canoe floating through the Moana Nui that is the universe. But we're operating as if everything is just, you know, endless. Our kupuna knew that. That's not true. That's why we had some strict couples, yeah? Go ahead, go catch the wrong fish wrong time of the year. See what happens. Now, from a Poe Haole experience, they're going, oh my God, they kill you over a fish? Hawaiian thought, what makes you any better than a fish?
Right.
That especially when that couple is sick, when do we normally have that fish on the couple? During their mating season. so they can reproduce. So that fish is because we need to malama that
to the left
of it. Because the life cycle of that ER is not is gonna be able to make more. And in this process of creating more, it's not just to feed us more. How many eggs would fish lay? Chocolate. Some of those eggs gonna be eaten by other things, some of those eggs gonna get a little bit bigger to eat the other things, some of those eggs will go into fish that will help us eat other things. It's all part of a whole cycle. And our kupuna knew this. So when they saw that, somebody who was so rakai, so greedy, can catch the fish and said, I don't care, I want it now. The punishment was intense. The punishment was intense because what are they truly trying to kill? What was the actual thing our kupuna was trying to bring?
The spirit of greed.
Greed. That is what our kupuna was trying to get. They would not allow that greed factor to overtake the need to malama aina. There's a So we think of that mana'o. Well, I have my hypothesis. How did we get to that point? How did our company become so strict about natural resources? I get my hypothesis. My hypothesis is they would learn the hard way. I think our kupuna would learn the hard way. No, we're not perfect. You know, we have fossil evidence of giant flightless goose in Hawaii, a boa. Some of these fossils have been found in the mountains here, I heard of Hawaii. But these are like 6-7 foot tall, like goose birds. And I think the last fossil evidence says they died out about 900 to 1,000 years ago. That's totally within our time frame of our kupuna. I don't know, as my hypothesis, that we might have hunted them to extinction. And I think our kupuna would learn from that. And we're full on it. Oh my God, we actually wiped that out. We can never allow that to happen again. No one human life is more important than malama in the rest of other life. That's why you could harvest one koa tree from the mountains. What did it take? A human mohai. It took human sacrifice. So we were chopping down the forest at will. No. Mahalo when the tree fall down on its own. Mahalo when the big driftwood come in. Because you come into the Puahidi, you take the life of one of the great giants of the mountain. That is not a small thing. So for me, I'm not saying we're going to return to that.
No.
But to take the mana'o, the thought of that, of how important it is to malama na aina, our kupuna, and stop looking at our kupuna as natural resources. We have to look at them as back as all of our mo'okuahau from our kumulipu and everything establishes as ohana and as kupuna. How do we go into the aina and be able to gather these things? First thing you gotta do what then? You better give back. To me, if you're a fisherman and you don't feed the ocean, stop fishing. If you're a hunter and you don't go malama the forest, stop hunting. But you know what? You cannot. Because we need you to malama the forest. We need our fishermen malama in the ocean. That little girl who just came in haunting me before she left, the Miloli'i. What is Miloli'i most famous for?
Fishing.
Not just the fishing.
The traditional fishing.
Of doing what?
Night.
Of feeding the fish. Above all things, that is what Miloli'i is the strongest blessing. Is that they still continue to go out and feed the fish. Some people, they, or most everybody, has forgotten that part. They will go out there just to feed fish. They don't go and go fishing every single time. One kupuna taught me, you know, what's the sacred number in Hawaii? Eha.
Hi.
Eha. Four. Hawaiians, we don't count with our fingers. We count with the gaps in between.
Ah.
Our traditional number system is based on a count of four. Why? You put the fishtail over here or a collar, whatever, you count everything by four. One kupuna taught me. You give, you take. You give, you give, you take. That way you're always stocking. You're always making sure that the resource is plentiful. Nowadays, we ask backwards. We're taking, and maybe we might give. In most cases, now we just take. What are we giving back? Our pollution. I get heated about this because, you know, the institutions that say they're educated, why are they not pushing this stuff? Why are we not creating industry or creating jobs based on this? For me, getting out there and malabaring the co-op, the fishing co-op, making sure that the forest, that the baile and the forest, all that is malamad, that's what these DLNR officers should be doing right now. And we should only have, we only get like 20 officers. We should have hundreds of them. In every single community, not Nino gonna drive to Hilo, comes Hoju. In each community, the people of that community need to be the core, need to be the officers, need to be the protectors of that community. Kauai. Any Kauai or ano yun? Up the kind. Way down. What's the end of the road down there?
Kauai or K.A.?
K.A. side. Isn't there a project that they've done with the community?
Yeah.
I'm just hearing about it.
Yeah.
Someone else can probably speak better to it. But I heard that's a project that they kind of had to Kuei to get, but they got kind of this better relationship with the community. It's becoming the stewards of the coastline and everything, and they have more say. They should just be given all the say, but it's a step.
Yeah.
So, that's the kind of things you need to start thinking. For me, in this movement, I've had to stop and acknowledge a couple things. What's some of the biggest arguments they give us in the stance for TMT?
The damage is already done.
That's one.
Benefits humanity.
Jobs.
Jobs.
You ask most of any of our local people that support TMT, it's mostly that. Jobs would bring income. Why? Because the settlers over here, the settler system has kept us so impoverished that they can just, any kind of crumbs that you're off, we're fighting for. Well, it shouldn't be that. So, for me, I acknowledge that, okay, yes, we are stopping some local jobs. I admit, yes, we are. When we had a meeting with Governor Ige last week, I have no idea what the date is. Whatever the hell I had with him. You know, we asked him straight up, what is your biggest concern? Why are you so invested in this? What's the biggest thing? One, they don't like PMT suit state. Two, and probably the biggest thing, is the business organizations here, or the business community, is on him because they're convinced, as they've been saying, that if we don't get this TMT pushed through and built, it's going to be bad publicity for business in Hawaii. They are convinced that if this project doesn't go through, we are going to dry up like a prune because no businesses will come to Hawaii. I said, hell yeah! Hawaii will be a bad place for bad businesses. So any more bad businesses that think they're going to come in here, push our people around, destroy our natural ecosystem, we will run your butts out of here. Yes, Hawaii will be a bad place for bad business.
Mm-hmm.
You should have started that 100 years ago.
Yes.
So, with that, thank you, Papalua. Let's look ahead. As we're standing guard here, we all must look ahead. How then do we malama those families who are depending on the income from this job? What other industries can we create here and now that sits pa'a in our value as kanaka mau? You heard Kalekoa's presentation earlier. Kumulipo, all these different mo'okuau, how all these different genealogical chants, all of it establishes our kihina to aina. Yeah? The whole concept. For me, indigenous people, native peoples of the land, is when you live in a point and in a way that you are part of your land. For me, I don't care how much koko you get. Hawaii is if you live Hawaii. Japan, they have plenty of cocoa, but you know, they don't live nothing Hawaiian. Japan, they have no cocoa, but they live very Hawaiian. So I don't really care about cocoa. I'm one that says that straight up. Unless you're going to use that cocoa thing to do actually something bono for Hawaii, what's the point? Because every single kanaka, every single human is indigenous, native to this planet. If I ask you what your ethnicity is, your answer is a land base. We all come from a point in time where our kupo na lives so intimately with the natural environment, with our aina, that our own name for who we are was the name of the land. What else am I? I'm Irish. I'm Scottish. And Filipino. My aina, my identity are those land bases. Because all of those people, all of those kubuna lived in a time and a way that their piri was at aina. They were part of the natural ecosystem. Where the hell did we get separated when we talk about nature? We always talk about nature as if it's over there.
Right.
And we're over here.
Right.
Where did that alien concept come from? Where we removed ourselves in the calculation of natural environment.
Yeah.
It started with the religion. You know, a religion that put us up on high. Seeing us as above everything else and separate them. That's not the biggest problem. No matter what big city you live in, far away, New York City, in the middle of concrete jungle, it is still the trees and the mountains that's giving you your breath. It is still the clouds moving that's going to give you your water. It is still the plankton in the ocean that's giving you your heart, that's bringing your fish to your door. No matter how far away you think you're getting from nature, you are still completely reliant upon it. That is an inseparable thought to the Kanaka, to the Maori. So, back to this. Ola ka aina, ola ke Kanaka. One of the biggest problems I see with TMT, and not just with TMT, but with many other situations that we're dealing with Hawaii, is we too easily bought off. Again, because they've kept us very oppressed and in a state of low income and everything. So when every little crumbs are thrown off, our people are struggling. Yeah? So we will end up having to do the things that's conflicting even in our own hearts and our own spirit. Yeah? Officers will come here and arrest their own grandparents. Because I gotta pay my bills. You know what that is? That's slavery. That is straight up slavery without chains. Debt is slavery. And we have been conformed into it. Understand, that process has only been around in Hawaii for like barely 150 years. We existed thriving for thousands of years on these same islands before that. So for me, there's already a template out there. You don't have to recreate the wheel. But we need to stop waiting for somebody from outside to come and bring us what we're going to be able to survive on, what I'm going to pay my bills on, what I'm going to take care of my family on. Create it. We need to be the creators of these things. Huli kalima ilalo. When we say huli kalima ilalo, turn the hands downward. We're not only talking about farming. The depth and concept of that is quit begging. Quit waiting for them to give us something. Turn our hands down and do the work. Create the industry. Create that job. Create those things. Take charge. I'm sick of seeing foreigners move over here and then they make all the job industry and we all gotta work under them. And then we try to help them out because they know something is wrong. Or they're doing something wrong, so we try to help them. Should just be us. The people who live here. Now, I reiterate back, now we can look at the puleana that our people had, and we can create from that. Kanaka lawai au, our fishermen, our fishing industry, you know how sad it is that most of all the fish served in Hawaii is not from Hawaii. And that's because our fisheries are dying. Our fish populations are tanking. Hamakua, we still fierce protecting our coastline. But how do we get cliff faces? Because if not, we'll be wiped out. A lot of it has to do with because of the economics. People gotta go. If they gotta pick all the OB, they will. Why? Because they get the bills for the house coming up. And that, again, should not be an excuse, but it's a reality. It is a reality. But we need to be forward thinking. If not, we are the creators of our own demise. Now we can barely go down to our coastline over here. It's full of hotels and everything. Who built the hotel? Our own people. Who built up the gate? Our own people. When are we going to recognize that we are part of this, we're enslaved? That's what, for me, this movement is saying. Enough. We don't need to have to just suck off the tit of any kind of another industry that comes up from the outside.
Yo.
Woo!
We can build it from here.
Right.
Look what magic we have already made. Yeah. Just from Lahui. Kukulu Kumuhana. I read back to that. Kukulu Kumuhana. That was the name of those summer camps when I was a kid. But that mana'o, that concept, is vital to them. Kukulu Kumuhana. Kukulu. What is Kukulu? To build upon. To become great and solid like a pillar. Kukulu. Kukulu Kumuhana. To come together as one to create, to complete a task. We want to see our nation rise? Right on. It ain't going to be nothing for the damn UN going to come down some magic hip-hop and oh, now you're free. It don't start with that. You guys, we got to be feeding ourselves. We don't want enough forests to sustain us. We don't want enough rivers to sustain us. It ain't going to change with a constitution. It starts with this, what we see happening right now. Collective thought to change, but again, now, Ola Ka'aina, Ola Kikanaka. Okay, we've had a few other chiefs walking here. King so-and-so, princess so-and-so, whatever. I'm like, I don't like hear from you. My number one ali'i is the Aina. He ali'i ka'aina he kagwa kikanaka. For the land is the chief. The people, be the servants. We honor our ali'i, we balama the ali'i, and return the ali'i feed us. So, I have seen more action from all of you guys, more change for our whole Lahui in 2 weeks than I have for many of these other guys. Own it. Own your power again. And when you all own your own, when we all own our own power and we bring our power together, that's how we're gonna save Hawaii. So, forward thinking. I encourage everybody now. There's a number of different things we can already look at industries or economics or things that we do to support our financial situations. But how can we pull these things so that they are not degrading our own aina? Okay? As an example, we get any ranchers? Where's our rancher? Oh, not this group. Okay. But, you know, I'm from Honoka, Hamakua side, and, you know, Paka Ranch, everything. And, so here's a thought. To be able to look at industries through the mindset of our kupuna. Now, I know, we're not Hamakua, but we have Paniolo heritage. It's a beautiful part of our history. It's also a very destructive part of our history. You see all this bullhead mountain? From the cattle. From the sheep. This was all forest. We love the beautiful rolling hills of Waimea. 150 years ago, you guys, was all forest. It was all forest. One of the biggest things that took it out? Cattle. Chopping down of hundreds and hundreds of acres for fences. All that kind of stuff. The precious hardwood, all getting... We did that. But that's okay. We gotta learn from that. But there's things that we can do and change right now. So, I'm not a rancher. I grew up with ranchers. Sometimes I used to go help on the ranch and stuff. But now let's think about things. We know that that's a harmful industry the way that it's being conducted right now. Okay? Yet, with all our grass-fed local beef, still almost 75% of all the beef sold in Hawaii comes from Texas. What's wrong with that?
We should fly away.
We gotta keep it here. But here's the mana'o. Now we have one small ranch in Ahualoa. And they're going into something called low-lying beef. Ever heard of it? Low-lying beef. So you know your typical Angus beef that you buy in a store and stuff? Wow, these are not natural cows. Not GMO, but like they've been bred to get bigger and bigger and bigger. by humans. We bred them mixed so they get it so big. The concept being, the bigger the animal, the more meat it's going to produce. My sister works for the cattleman's industry, and a basic concept for them is one, you need at least 1 acre per Angus. Yeah? So average that out on the size of a different herd. Yeah? Now, with low-lying bees, these are kind of getting older strains of cows, and they're kind of, they're cute, short, stocky little things. Yeah? They're like, maybe this tall. Pomona bugger. And typically what it is now, you can get 2.5 head of cattle per acre. Okay? Now, they're smaller animals, but once they dress out, it actually produces a higher yield of beef than the one big Angus. But you look at that, you know, you get so much momona on the stuff, and then because they're so big, the muscle structure is so much tougher, and that's a big belly. It's a big empty cavity that you're not getting any meat out of. So when you look at it, you can have 1 acre with one Angus, or 1 acre with 2.5 head of low-lying beef that actually produces a higher yield and actually a higher quality beef. My auntie and friends, you know, they mostly right now, they can only handle so much of like Merriman buys their meat. It's because it's prime, good quality. So imagine that concept. If we were able to work with our local ranchers, to invest now, where now, instead of having to take care of 1,000 acres of pastures and only produce so much beef, they could actually cut their number of their acreage of pasture in half and produce even a higher yield of quality beef. What can we do with the other half of the pasture we got back? We put our forest back. Woo. There's a level of intelligence there. Economically shabby too. Yeah. We can actually produce more. Yeah, at a higher yield, and we can help to malamar aina. It's a big thing for me to get the ungulates out of the mountains. We can have particular areas where we allow, where we have the goats and the muflan and all this kind of stuff. Now, that's one example of seeing different industries, but approaching things from a cultural perspective. Now here we go. It's a way that we're able to still malama our forests, cut down on the use of land, and be able to put nutrients back onto the aina. Okay? You guys, and we're not the only ones doing this right now. Look at, on the world scale, this is happening. I'm a huge proponent of hemp.
Huge.
Hemp is freaking crazy. You guys learn about this plant? It's awesome. You can do everything with hemp.
And oil can do.
And you know what? Planting hemp restores your soil.
Yes.
We can restore our soil by planting this plant.
And unfortunately,
is
our governor's veto a bill that
kind of
opens it up
for us? Yes, we still have stupid government vetoing these things.
That's the problem. You know, everything you're saying is so beautiful. Because I have that thought in my mind as well. It's really different with what you're talking about. It's really not the
same.
And every year, the legislation steps like a D plus every year. They always fail.
Our government steps.
I mean, look at what happened even here. How the government is doing it.
Right.
It's nuts. I mean, in a way, we're lucky they're so ineffective because that's how we get to stay longer.
Right.
But you know, it's kind of by default, it's not by design.
Right.
It's crazy.
It is crazy.
So then that's the thing that holds the problem with that. When you see here what can be created by the will of people, the goodwill of people, but then you take your goodwill and you put it out in over there in the state of Hawaii, which isn't even a state, but the country of Hawaii. You know, they just bulldoze you.
Idiot.
Exactly. Our government is still run by
idiots.
So what do we do? What do we do in the meantime?
What we do in the meantime is what we are doing right now. We do not allow the government to tell us that anymore. You realize for the past 2 weeks, you guys are all criminals, yeah? Even right now, Bill Ayla is demanding that we are arrested and removed from this place right now.
Yeah.
Right now?
Yeah. Oh, I have my passport, so I'm ready to be arrested.
Yay! Yeah.
But this is the power of the people. And we cannot forget that when we leave the Mauna. That's the biggest thing. If we really want change, this is not a one-action situation.
No.
We need to start standing up and supporting our local industries. You know, when we talk about that shop local, you guys have no idea how powerful that really is.
Really?
The biggest voting power we have is with our money. Yeah? How we use our money, where we invest. Yeah? When we stand up against things, industries, construction projects or whatever that does not funnel. This is not my jacket. That's what we have to do. Imagine if we had this mass go down to Huhonua right now. Big Island people, you know about Huhonua, right?
Yes.
Yeah? The horrible, horrible power plant project they're trying to do. Chopping down trees, burning the trees, using to cool their stuff, pumping water from our aquifer down, laced with chemicals, and they want to shoot it back down into the aquifer.
No.
That is happening right now. Our Ohana Dao Papaiko, they're fighting that. We reach critical mass to be able to shut down bad industries, but then we need this critical mass to support good things that are coming. We need more solar power. If you guys want to watch TV, you want solar power. Okay, yes, I know we get issues with windmills here and there, but you need to admit it's better than oil, right? So we need to now assist in how do we make that clean energy better. Stop just complaining and engage in the process to make better. We need to be active. Ola ka'aina. We need these things done in a way. It is all these different types. We don't need to be chopping down our mountains anymore to create cement. You know where you can make cement from? Yeah. I think you gotta add a little bit, but it's better. You can make metal, steel, or a substance as hard as steel from hemp. You know what? You know, we don't think about it because they don't have that here. But you know all this stuff? This is some other native cousin's land getting destroyed right now. This is someone else's aina, someone else's mauna being ripped apart right now. All this plastic, that is someone else's aina getting polluted for that oil. So, we gotta recognize that our efforts to ho'opono our aina here is also effective in helping the rest of the honua. Ola ka aina, ola ke kanaka. We need to start getting back to a point where we are demanding, and then we are also acting in our own demand. That we put the health and safety of our aina above even our own. That's what this movement is symbolic of right now. We are willing to put our lives on this road. Some of us, we're willing to do that to protect this mountain. People have been doing that all around the world. Studies are coming out right now. Environmentalists are one of the biggest targets right now. They said nearly 5 environmentalists are murdered every single week for their defense of forests, the defense of rivers. Why? Because the industries that are bringing us this is the ones killing us. We are not innocent in this. But by God, we can change that. And we need to. Why? Our little ones. Our kids. Again, right now, as it stands, we cannot promise our children right now that they will be able to breathe clean air in 20 years. You cannot promise them that. We cannot promise them that they can go down to Waiai and go fishing. Because as I saw, hardly get any fish as of now. It is a reality check that all of us need to get that. And we gotta strive. It starts at home. I am not saying I'm perfect. But having even that consciousness to shift. Let's start creating the industries that will help to heal our planet. Yeah? I'm going to kind of start wrapping up with this. Back in 2015, during the first stand, I made a very interesting friend. His name's Henry Yang. Anybody know who that is? He's the chairman of the board of TMT.
Wow.
Okay, let me tell you some backstory now. Okay. How many of you guys saw the groundbreaking video?
Yeah.
So you saw when I was going back with Billy. You saw that when I was going back with Amir. Had one little Japanese guy, a little Chinese guy, would come on the side. He tried to say something. And Billy would push him out of the way. A couple years later, that was Henry Yang. So a little history. I have a lot of respect for this man. I know it sounds weird. Hang on, wait a minute. Henry Yang, he is the chairman of Santa Barbara State University. He was brought into the TMT project because of his connection in the education. Yeah? He's not a scientist, not an astronomer, but he was brought in to help with that component. In the midst when we are locked up on the mountain, I had a number of different meetings going back and forth in the mountain. At the Capitol, you know that flat top you see? That, I didn't know. That's a big old line over here on the Capitol. Meetings like 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. Of course, they tried to buy us off. Well, what if we give you this? You said, well, you can give me that, but I'm not giving you that, but you can give us that. The biggest thing that caught this man's ear, because they were convinced, we need to make Hawaii the world leader in astronomical science. Like, why? They already say that they are. I said, you know what, part of my own thing, I'm not against astronomy, but one of my things in this is why we're focusing so much on looking farther away from our problem. We're spending billions, it's not even trillions of dollars a year, to look in the wrong direction. I love that David shirt from Hawaiian Force. Before you look into space, you need to malama this way. Our own spaceship is breaking apart here, and we're not even getting it. So, I told Henry, I was like, now what if we shifted the focus of the University of Hawaii? Yeah? What if we focus on education that is actually more beneficial for this planet? What if we shifted the goal instead of going into astronomy being the lead thing for the University of Hawaii? What if we focus on Hawaii becoming the world leader in earth-saving technology? Earth-saving science. He was hooked on that. He came back to Hawaii 3 times just to discuss that. So even guys on the other side of this particular situation, I always say we have to always look at them with that's what Kapu Aloha does. It opens up dialogue. Mike McCartney, Chief of Staff, he was here the other day. He was Chief of Staff for Governor Egan. As soon as I saw him the other day, he goes, University of Earth Saving Technology. I was like, oh. He's like, I'm on that. I still want to make that happen. That is us grabbing the narrative and creating our own future. Turning our hands downward, quit begging, quit waiting for Superman. And when we know who we are, where we are, and what we know needs to be done, let us create it. You got something good going in your community? You see something that needs to happen in your community? Come talk to your community. Here we are, here, right now. The Lahui is waking up. We need to demand from our current leaders that they need to wake up. That's what we're doing right now. You have no idea how powerful you are when you are conscious. When we are conscious as a Lahui, that is earth shit. Yeah. But also, remember this. Something I remember sometimes, always felt like when we do this kind of work, and sometimes we feel like we are alone. It's like, we only are trying to find place, and we get thousands of our ohana, and they're not here, and they're not even paying attention. We feel very alone. Right now, I don't feel alone. Pretty good. But remember this too. We are also not alone on this planet. There are efforts. We need to, as Kanaka, as people who live in Hawaii, as people of this planet, we gotta join forces with all of the rest of our ohana that's also streaming out the same thing. Yeah. Right before I left Europe, there was an awesome movement in, in Germany. You guys, 4,000 people ran. I think it was a
hike.
What Canada doing? The oil
Fracking.
Digging the pit.
Oil sands. Tar sand. Yeah.
There's also a tar sand thing in Germany. 5,000 people broke the fence and they ran in. Cops was just like, and they ran down into the pits, stopping the machine. That's what we need now. Why? We don't do that now. They go up. Our pinkies. What's up? You think you're suffering now? We think we no more fish now. What about them? So that's why the time of idleness is done. One of the biggest movements that a lot of us got inspired, even way back in Mauna Kea, I Don't Know More. You guys ever heard of that movement? Started by 4 women in Canada. Activated people across Canada and spread throughout the Americas. And then we had I Don't Know More Hawaii. What does that mean? I don't know more. Quit sitting around. Quit pointing fingers and just blaming. Quit waiting. You go do it. That is the power of a united Lahu. Ola ka aina. Ola ke kanaka. When we put our wants on the side and we work towards the needs of our community, most times you're going to find that need will be serviced by caring back to the aina. Look at all the health things now. In fact, doctors now, we have a country it is. But they are actually, doctors are able to prescribe nature walks.
Austria.
They prescribe to people to go work in a garden. Yeah.
Switzerland, Austria.
Because there's so much in that. You know, like the everyday life of our Kukuna? There was so much there. It was so bite. Now we just working like rats on a wheel. They put that debt on us. Well, when are we going to stand up against it? Where are we going to say enough is enough? Because if we don't know, look to every child around you and tell them, I'm sorry, I never liked food. Remember that. If you don't activate now, and that's for me, as a teacher who taught from kindergarten, actually now I teach preschool to 12th grade, I don't necessarily have a child of my own. But I have thousands of kids. And I look at every single one at one time and I realize if I don't do something, it's my fault. I'm sorry. I never liked food. I was too content and I never liked to step out of my comfort. I didn't want to, you know, it was stressful. I had to go to work. And then who could pay for that later? Or Kamali. So, understand, we are on a bit of a. We're on the edge. That's the word. The precipice. We're on the precipice. We are losing species like that. To quote. Okay? Animals that all of us grew up on, you guys may never see. Rhinos, giraffes, elephants, polar bears. Bear. Whale! They might not see that. I was closing, right? I closed with this one. My final one. Promise. Going back to what I said earlier about those ding dongs who say rivers flowing into the ocean is a waste of water. I come from Hamakua. Hamakua is famous for our rivers. Something like almost 500 rivers from Upolu, Kohala, all the way to Hilo. Duck River. Today, out of those rivers, only about 5 actually flow year-round. 5.
Reversions.
What is happening? Why is that critical? There's a mo'olelo and a story that goes back to Hawaii. Long ago, it speaks of the goddess of Poliahu, and when time when the kanaka of Hamakua. I shared this story the other day if anyone missed it, but in a nutshell, I went, oh chief, he had wiped with the gods, he called off all ceremonies, and in that time, the land was dry. The rain stopped coming. Famine fell upon the people. What the people did? Number. Complain. How come he not doing that? How come the chief not doing that? How come you know? One day, eventually the old chief passed away, new chief comes, he says, let's reenact the ceremony. He calls his kahunas, they do their thing. And nothing happens. The rains still do not come. Hamakua is ravished by drought. So finally, it has gotten so bad, that's when now, in Sama Rabu Olelo, which even the highest priest cannot discern, they come to the Oracle of Hawaii. Who is the Oracle of Hawaii? Koliahu. The young virgin maiden meant to stay pure, held on the highest summit. When they come to her, she discerns for them. Hallelujah. Yes, her father. She declares, my father is your father. And therefore that Kuleana to honor the father is all of us. All of yours. He said, but the new chief has done ceremonies. And she said, it's not just the chief. What about all the people? When the old chief was not doing his Kuleana, how come the people never do anything? All they did was complain. So it's all your fault. One chief, all the people. Why do people never do their own ceremony? Why they never conjure and call? In other words, don't just complain. Get active. If not, it's your fault. Own it. So in the Mo'olelo, they go back down, they share it to all the people of Hawakua. They conjure for ceremony, fully they make offerings, and the rains return. So in that, there is a great responsibility of people of Hawakua to help to maintain this relationship. We are the keepers of the base point of Pa'ohe. Yeah, this Ahukua that extends from here, comes down from Honolulu area. Yeah, the regular trade wind comes in from that side. Right? Important kuleana for Hawakua people to help to maintain that cycle. That water is rain that's collected. The forest that held that rain. Go back on the car, it's Kolohe. There's no forest. We get big rain now. Big rain. Rivers. Torrential. The next day, bone dry. We go back into drought in 2 weeks, no rain. Because there's no forest. Pasture land is not holding water. Returning the forest to the uplands, that's the watershed. That's the watershed. That's the sponge that helps to hold that water so it doesn't just wash off one time. It holds it, it collects it, and slowly releases it, helping to keep the rivers all flowing constantly. I had some people telling me, they remember growing up in Honaka'a town, we get gulches right through town. They used to go down and get opai right in the gulches in Honaka'a. What? Like, I grew up in Honaka'a, those gulches barely flow twice a year now, unless we get big storms, and they get 1-2 days in plow. And the fact that the o'opu would climb from the all the way up there. What's wrong? But understand, there's part of the engine too that also feeds the ocean. It is this water cycle, the river is flowing, unobstructed from the Mauka to the Makai, through the Nahele, through the forest, helping to gather all this nutrient and such, and bringing it into the ocean. That's what helps to activate. That is the Kane and the Kanaloa. The two primary gods to sustain life. That is where they meet. What is that one chant? Ola ya kane kane ke apua ola. Ola ya kandaloa ke apua kukue ue ye ye. The flowing of fresh waters of Khan, when they meet the waters of Kanaloa, that's the most abundant kupu, the most abundant sprouting. When you have the fresh and the salt mix, that's when you get the most limu. When you get the most limu, you get the most ia, you get the, you know, when you get the small fish, they bring the bigger fish, they bring the bigger fish, and you know how it goes. So we had hundreds of rivers keeping that engine going all the time. Now we're down to 5. Is our engine running at full capacity? No, it's not. But imagine, the Hamakua coast, now look at that. We are the north side. Yeah. Aranui Haha. The Aranui Haha channel between Hamakua, Hawaii Island and Maui is one of the strongest currents in the world. You get stuck in a bubble, you go to Tahiti. And so that comes through, hits by the area of Kuho'olawe and makes Keala Ikaiki. That current will take you. So imagine the north side of our island, all these rivers pumping, helping to sprout all of this plankton, all of this limo, all this fish. The current pushes it in. It is Hamakua that feeds Kamaihai, that feeds Kona. All the nutrients from the forest lands of Hamakua coming through and it's going down. And then also pushing off into the Pacific. These islands help to seed the ocean with our water cycles continue to flow. How do we help the fisheries expand? Get the forest back in the mountains. People don't normally think about that. We help to repopulate our ocean by planting trees in our mountains. That is a big part of the cycle. Now we can also go on the small scale. Kanakalawai'a, our fishermen, our ohana to live along the shore, find a spot along the shore and go palu-palu that thing, please, regularly. Go feed the fish. Okay, promise, this is my MVP. Going back to the idea of being able to balance ourselves in the economic world. When it comes to our programs and everything, right now, I know coming from a charter school growing up, we were always having to write letters to help them, to help protect our funding. We were always, and I've done so much work in nonprofits, it drives me freaking back nuts. Because we always stuck in a process of having to hunt for money. We always begging, writing somebody else, go try to make nice here, beg for donations. That we spend so much time trying to get money to support our programs, the program suffers. Look at even our schools and our hospitals and everything. They don't want to give them money. You know, one of the most intelligent things I heard, I don't know why we don't have more of these, but for me, it fits perfect with Hawaiian concept. You know what? When you look at like how we malamara po'a, fishermen go out, they feed that po'a, they fed that same po'a for, I don't know, 10, 15, 20, 100 generations. They never need fish finder. They caught a fish. Because they always went to that place, they always palu-palu, they cut in the side of the canoe, the fish hear that, they associate feeding time. They come to the bar. Our people train, and they actually, they shepherd the wild. Never need fish finder, just caught a fish. Don't believe me? Try walk by one koi pot. Fish is smart. You always return to that same spot. They will come. When the fish is all crazy, when they paddle paddle, they all go into feeding frenzy. Go drop your hooks right into the middle of that thing. They're not associating the boat with friends disappearing. Yeah? They're too busy. They're like, oh, what's my way? Fish is smart. Nowadays you bring the boat, they run. Our people would go and feed. You know what that sounds like to me? We were masters of endowment funds. Oh, yeah, how endowment fund works? You get so much money, that's your principal. Special account. You feed it to your principal, special account sits there, you can, you know, do what you need. Try to build, but it builds interest. That's every time you go palu palu. It builds interest. And as it continues to accumulate, keep it there, accumulate more and more. You come and you harvest off the top. You only touch the interest. You never break and touch the principal. So if the natural ecosystem provides this much, then you feed it. Let it produce this much, and this is what you survive on. If it starts to dip down low, you stop. You allow it to replenish itself and begin to produce more of it. Nowadays, we're running the thing down. The fund is so low, it ain't generating no interest. And each generation that keeps coming up, or each new business introduced, keeps looking at everything like it's a full pot. They get something, woke up. Oh, we'll get this much. It's a lot. We can take some more. They're like, no. It used to be this whole mountain was forest. Now we get little pockets of forest. Oh, get plenty forest. You know, let's just take, we're just taking some. No. That sum is already a very little. Look at the summit of the mountain. The summit ecosystem is only this big. Everyone's like, but the mountain's huge. But that ecosystem is only this big. And they took some, and they took some more, and they took some more, 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 took some more. Irritating, yeah, that's like 13 times. What do they want? Some more. We are draining the principle. The aina itself is segregating. So if we start thinking, putting the aina, the health of aina, like kauka, akikai, kawai, kawana, we put that at the forefront of all of our plans, all of our economic ideas, the health of this aina in front. You know what? This will, Hawaii will become a pivotal shift for the planet, for the whole world. When we start taking control and cleaning our own oceans, when we start creating our own jobs and industries that are not taking away from others, when we start seeing this intelligent technology, yeah, and start applying these things to the health and regeneration of our own aina, that's when we win. When we only claim our Hawaiian heritage to get more funding to live more Poʻihaole style, we ain't helping nobody. When we claim that right only comes by being Hawaiian, which is acknowledging that we are descendants, we are the keiki, we are the huliloa of the aina. Malamara aina, malama us. It's the whole principle of haloa. Haloa na kalau kapalili. The first child born of Wakea and Hoʻokalani, who was the mohai. His death became the reincarnation that became the kalo, a sustenance for the people. That's the haloa ke manaka, the beginning of our species, the relationship thing. What's that word? What's that word? Not reciprocal. It's reciprocal. Symbiotic relationship. So imagine if we based our society on symbiotic relationship with our environment. It ain't a big, it's not like a big brand new thing. Our kupuna did it for thousands of years. So, for me, in this stand, I am so proud to see our kanaka, to see the lahui, and see everybody joining the world global fight to protect even the smallest life form, to protect the most fragile places. But like I talk about the kapu, kapu aloha, that you can take that home with you too, continue this battle, even off of this mountain. Continue to support each other, even off of this mountain. Let's start thinking ahead, and we grab and we create our futures that is dealing with who we are as a people. Do not allow the outside world to warp us to fit their idea of progress. What the Western world calls progress, I call crazy. We are marching to our doom. Right here is the front line for Hawaii saying, hell no, we won't go. We're going to bully this bugger right now. Ola ka aina.
Ola ka aina.
Ola ke kanaka.
Ola ke kanaka.
Ola ka aina.
Ola ke kanaka.
Ola ke kanaka.
Ola ke kanaka.
In that order. Mahalo ya oko apa.
Mahalo.
Mahalo.